It's Brandy Taylor. Welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. It's not just lipstick, it's business. We will share thought-provoking conversations with business and beauty professionals. Our goal is to empower, motivate, and inspire you to take your business to the next level. This episode is sponsored by the Living Room Hair Lounge, where beauty and comfort is our top priority. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I had an awesome conversation with Simone Little, and we learned a lot about her journey from behind a chair to now a virtual assistant. And it was really insightful. It made me really think about, is it time for me to hire someone myself for some of the small tasks that can take me away from operating in my business fully? Because as you decide to scale and to grow your business, it can become hard to do everything within your business, like handling the small details, the appointment settings, the emailing and different things like that. So it's great to have systems in place and have someone to help you with those things. So here's a little bit of Simone's bio. Simone Little of the Little Virtual Assistant collaborates with female professionals and industry leaders to help them maximize their output without running around in disarray. Running any successful business takes planning, marketing, systems, and excellent customer service. For over 7 years, owner Simone Little has successfully operated and grown her own companies. Therefore, she understands all too well the challenges facing scaling companies and even better, how to manage and nurture a thriving business. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Simone. Here it goes. Hey, welcome to the podcast. It's your host, Brandy Taylor, and we have an awesome guest today, Simone Little. Welcome, Simone.
Hi, Brandy. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
Good. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
I appreciate the invite. I'm excited.
Me too. So, Simone, tell us a little bit about you, like a little bit of your personal, a little bit about you before we get into the business side of everything.
Okay, sounds good. So, like you said, my name's Simone. I am a wife and a mother. I've been married for almost 10 years, 10 years in November. I'm super excited. I don't know what we're doing for our anniversary this year, but it's just, I don't know, it's just a big year for us.
Yeah, that's 10 years is a milestone. It really is.
I think so.
Yeah. It is. Congratulations.
Thank you. We have two small children. I have a 7-year-old little boy, and I have a year and a half year old little girl. She's aggressive. They switch roles. Like, my son is the more gentle one, and she is the more aggressive one. I just think it's so funny how different they are. they're a really, really big part of my life, and they fuel my passions and fuel me to keep going. Me personally, I am a people person, so I like talking with people, I like communicating with people, I like getting to know people, and I also really enjoy music. So I do a lot of the, you know, the modern music, kind of, but I love, like, anything Michael Jackson, Jackson 5, love mainly Michael Jackson. I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, and then I also really like Queen as well. I'm on so many different sides of the spectrum. So, that's a little about me and kind of, you know, my background as far as my life that I'm living today. I try to enjoy life to the fullest. It's all, like, always, life is always going to have issues and problems, but it's about looking on the bright side and trying to make the best out of any given situation.
Awesome. I absolutely agree. So you have a few different businesses that you own. Now, I know you're a hairstylist. And tell us a little bit about your experience as a hairstylist and, like, what your specialty and everything is.
Okay. So I own a salon called Simone Styles in Atlanta, Maryland. It sprung from the need to get out of the corporate scene. I've always enjoyed doing hair from when I was younger. My mother didn't know too much about hair. I had to kind of figure it out on my own. So that's what kind of sprung the love for hair. And I was a legal assistant at a law firm. And it really wasn't for me. Like, again, I'm a people person, and the people weren't very nice. So I had to get out of that environment. So I I started a mobile salon, and I traveled to different people's homes and did their hair, and that took off pretty well. I had my best friend come and assist me. I trained her how to do hair. She actually still works for me, or works for Simone Styles, really for herself, but for Simone Styles to this day. And when I had, after I had my first child, my son, who's now 7, I realized that I couldn't keep traveling to different people's homes, so I found a salon suite, and I made roots. So that was a really good choice to stabilize my life. In the salon, we always specialize in natural hair, so we're a chemical-free salon. We do natural hair and braiding, and we teach people how to take care of their natural hair. There's so much misinformation about natural hair, and we try to really educate our clients instead of them divulging into the world of the internet, looking at 20 million different things that say conflicting things. We try to look at their hair and tell them what they need to do specifically for their hair. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of braiding as well. I think the special part about that is that we tell them how to manage their hair, even with the braids in it. So, you know, people or women end up with traction alopecia because of the pulling, and they don't know when the right time is to take out their hair. They don't know how to properly detangle their hair after they take it down. A lot of those issues come about, and we try to educate our clients to go about things the right way so they can have retention in their hair. So that's what we do at Small Styles. Kind of, you know how we started. It's 3 stylists there now. I'm not currently behind the chair. But I have my senior stylist, my mid-level stylist, and my junior stylist there. And they work together as a team, and I help with some of the back-end stuff still.
And that's awesome. I love the fact that you educate people on how to take care of their hair. Because I feel like in the African-American community, that there's just a lack of knowledge. Like, I feel like a lot of times people, we never really knew how to take care of our hair. And that's why we were putting chemicals in it. And even when we stopped putting chemicals in it, we still didn't know what to do because we were never taught to properly take care of it. So, yeah, I think that is absolutely great that you're a chemical-free salon and you also, you know, educate the client on how to properly care for their hair.
Thank you, yes, and I have to agree with that. There's just a lot of, although there's a lot of information out there, women are not taught how to properly apply the information or what information applies to them. They try so many different things, the friend's recommendation, and everybody's hair is so different. There is no one-fix solution for everyone. So it brings me joy when I see my clients and all of a sudden their hair is down their back and they start off with a CWA. It brings me joy and makes my heart rejoice.
Awesome. That is great. So you stepped away from the chair, though. So tell us a little bit, like, what made you make this transition and how did you do that?
I definitely stepped away from the chair a little bit. Well, a lot of it. when I got pregnant with my first child, and when I get pregnant, there's a stomach. I mean, there's a muscle at the top of my stomach, that pulls the heavier the child gets. So I can't stand for long periods of time. So when I got pregnant with my son, I had to take some time away. And so when I got pregnant with my daughter, I knew I was going to have to take that time away. But unlike before, my husband wasn't able to financially carry the load of the entire household. We had just moved, and it was too much for him to carry. And I thought to myself, I know I'm not going to be able to be behind the chair. It's just too painful. I was like 5 months pregnant, and it was already so painful. I knew that wasn't going to be able to last. And I started thinking to myself, well, what can I do to make money and something that I still enjoy? Like, I didn't want to go back to the corporate office. I didn't like that at all. That was stressful, and I was miserable. And that wasn't going to be healthy for my family or for the child that I was carrying. So I had to figure out something else. And my sister-in-law told me, so you do that as a back-end stuff for the salon. Why don't you just do that for other people? And I was like, man, that's such a great idea, because often I would, you know, express my discontentment with the fact that there was so much for me as the owner to do in addition to doing the hair. And I wish that I just had someone who could help me do certain things, help me answer all these emails, help me with a social media presence. Although I know how to do it, it's just time consuming. So at that point, I started to kind of switch my thinking and think about how can I do something different. What does that look like? And I came across something called a virtual assistant. I was like, I was a legal assistant. I've done hair for the past 2 years. Why don't I be an assistant for people in the beauty industry? started. And my first client was not a beauty industry client. She was a baker. I still work with her to this day, 2 years later. But it got me enough experience where I started working with estheticians and makeup brands and things like that. And it's been a beautiful experience ever since, and I've been able to scale it to completely step from behind the chair. Because after I had my daughter, I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm going to go back to the salon and still do hair. And I did that for a little bit, but after a while, it became impossible to juggle both. And it was time for me to put down the shears, so to speak, and devote my time more so behind the computer and helping other businesses.
That's awesome. And it's interesting that your target market is the very industry that you stepped away from, which is the beauty industry. And how did you make that decision to go that route?
For me, it just made sense because that's where I had all my experience. Although I had the legal background, it wasn't something, like I said, that I enjoyed. And I figured, I've been working in this industry for so long, I know a lot of the challenges that ones who work in the beauty industry have. I know the type of customers that they may get. I know how to calm issues from clients and customers that walk in the door. I know how to market toward the beauty industry if I'm doing social media marketing or email marketing. I know how to do all those things. So it made sense for me to say, okay, look, I have all these skills, you know, me pitching myself to whoever the owner of whatever company is. I have all these skills. Here's how I've been able to implement them for myself. Here's how my business model is. Look at how it's growing. I want to do the same thing for you. It's not a competition. There's enough space for everybody to grow. My focus is going to be on you. Let me help you. And so that really helped. That gave people confidence to say, okay, she's been doing this. She knows what she's doing. And they were able to trust me, and I was able to build on it. So, and I enjoy it too, right? Sometimes you think about getting into business for yourself, and the number one question you ask yourself is this something that I'm going to enjoy long term to make money out of, or is this just a hobby?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think what is great about it is I can see that you were in the industry for 8 years yourself, so you understand what it takes for the day-to-day on a salon, you know, to run a salon and everything. Mm-hmm. And you've been behind the chair and had to worry about maybe, you know, people, appointments and different things of that nature, and just staying in touch with your contacts, with your clients, and also marketing to those clients while servicing the clients can be a lot for one person. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are doing it on their own. Maybe they've never heard of a virtual assistant, or maybe mm-hmm. they don't think that it's something that could work for them. So can you kind of speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So some people haven't heard of a virtual assistant. I know when I was working behind the chair, I didn't really know of the term. It became more popular in the past, you know, few years. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that I really heard of. And then the ones who have heard of it, they're anxious. And I get it, because their business, that's their baby. Like, they worked hard to generate their clientele. They worked hard to have the reputation that they have. They don't want to just give it to anybody and have the potential that they could ruin it, or they can mess up or do something wrong, or they're not going to do it exactly like you would do it. That's a concern I hear a lot. Well, they're not going to do it like I do it. I have my own way. And as beauty professionals, sometimes we are afraid to relinquish some of that control that we have. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely say to the beauty owner, don't be afraid of the unknown. Do your research. Research the right questions to ask someone who might be helping you with your business. And then give it a try.
Right.
Start off with smaller tasks that aren't going to affect your bottom line as much. And as you build confidence in that person, give them the bigger task. Give them the more difficult task. You give them the task that feel more personalized to you, that need a personal touch, your oversight with, typically. And then build on that relationship. You don't have to go all in right up front and say, okay, you're my assistant, I have to give you all of my business. No, you can start out with portions until both of you get comfortable with one another. And that way, if it's not a right fit, you haven't taken all this time to train this person on all these things that you have going on just to have it handed right back to you.
Right, exactly. I like that idea. Just, you know, just starting off small and building up. And I know as a business owner myself, it can be hard to give up some of your responsibility. Like me, I do expos, and it was really hard, but for me to give up some of the responsibility, but in order for me to grow it and in order for me to stay sane, I had to allow people to help me. You know what I'm saying? So you definitely have to allow people to help you in your business. And then another thing is you can only go so far with just you. And if you have to focus on like every little thing, then it's taken away from the main thing. So like, say if you're like, you're a killer braider or whatever, and you could do like the best braids out there and you're quick and fast with it, but you also, so people are, especially in the summer, everyone wants to get braids. So you, you're booked up for the whole summer, but it's hard for you to stay connected and build relationships with other clients or anything like that because you're constantly behind the chair. So you really can't do both. So it's hard for you to have to post to your social media, have to interact with people, have to send out, you know, newsletters and stay connected with your clients and be the boss and work in a salon at the same time. So a lot of people don't understand is you can't do everything. So you have, as you want to grow your business and you want to expand your income, you have to hire some people sometimes to just do those little tasks. I find just like those little bitty, you know, simple questions that you get constantly, if you have somebody else answering those, even sometimes that type of stuff can take some of the weight off of you and you can focus on your craft or whatever it is that you're good at.
And you know what I found to be a thing is the real time burnout of ones in the beauty industry, because they're trying to do everything themselves. And they try to kind of make it better by saying, okay, I don't work Monday and I don't work Sunday. But then they're working Monday, working Sunday on the back end of their business. And there's nothing wrong with that, but then when are you actually resting? How can you be the best for, you know, your clients, but also for yourself and your family? Because at the end of the day, I feel like most of us, that's why we have our own businesses, is to help ourselves and our friends and family, you know, when we have kids or spouse, or even if it's just yourself, just having time to enjoy life and not work all the time. So what I found beneficial is for, I remember one of my clients, she said, when you came on board, that Monday that I had off, I actually used it for myself to rejuvenate myself. So now I'm not as tired. I'm not as burnt out. I enjoy talking to my clients more. I enjoy what I'm doing with my hands more because I'm not so burnt out from being behind the computer for an entire day.
Right, right. I love that. I think it's awesome. Now, honestly, I've heard a lot about a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs. I listen to different people that aren't even in the beauty industry on podcasts and different things like that. And a lot of people are always, you know, talking about delegating those small tasks, hiring virtual assistants like through Fiverr and stuff like that. But I honestly think that I would rather hire someone like you who understands my industry. More so than hiring someone who's, you know, not even here, and just because it's going to be a couple bucks or whatever, is that necessarily always better? You know what I mean? So who do you think about that? Because a lot of people are like, oh, just go to Fiverr and hire a VA and all of that. And then that's where I hear about it the most.
Yeah. A lot of times you get what you pay for,
right?
So if you go to Fiverr and you pay someone X amount of money because it's cheaper and you need this job done, it might not have the oversight and attention that you want, or because they don't have specific knowledge about the industry, those touches that you can't really communicate, the person just has to know, they're not going to know it. It saves you, it may cost more time to hire someone who specializes in your field. It may cost more money, but it's not going to cost you so much time. They're not going to have to train the person as much. They're already going to know the terminology. When you talk to them, you're not going to be sounding like you're speaking in a different language because they don't have knowledge about the industry. And I think that that's what you get when you pay for someone who is specialized to assist you versus going to Fiverr or one of those other websites that have people from all over the place trying to get the lowest price.
Right, right. And so have you have you thought about working like for those companies? Because I've seen people who honestly, who are not the cheapest on Fiverr. Have you done any of that type of work, or you've only obtained clients through your personal network?
I've obtained clients through Upwork, not on Fiverr. The thing is with Upwork, it gets a little tricky because they've changed so much in the past, like 6 months. How they want you to pay for connections just to apply to a position, and then when you get the position, they pay you through Upwork, and then Upwork takes a cut from you and takes a cut from the person paying you. At the end of the day, it just doesn't help my bottom line. I know how much I need to make to make my family sustainable. I also know how much I'm worth. And if I can get away from those systems that kind of take away from how much I'm worth, then that's what I'd prefer to do. I had the one client, we worked through Upwork for like 9 months, and it was okay, but it was an hourly rate, and by the time they took all the money, it was like, this is the hourly rate that I was being paid was gone, and then they were paying money too, and I'm like, this is a lot of money. And I don't know if Fiverr has something similar that it works out, that works out for their members, but I know working through that system, it just was not right for me. I already track my time, and I already track my hours, my tasks through my own system that I use, and it's very effective. It puts it into graph form for me. It puts it into ratios for me. But then when you work through like Upwork or something like that, after you already timed yourself, you have to go back and manually put it in through their system, which then just takes me more time that I can be using to dedicate to one of my clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't love it, but I think maybe if you're starting out, it may be an option for you. But I feel like there are so many better options if you're just starting out as a virtual assistant versus going through Upwork and Fiverr. And if you're looking for a virtual assistant, there are so many better ways to go through than Upwork and Fiverr. And I say if you're going to go through Upwork or Fiverr, look through profiles, look at people, look at, you know, their reviews and everything, but then contact them outside of the platform, right? Like, mm-hmm. I had to find a grading expert for one of my clients. And I looked through Upwork, and I said, this person was great. I went to their website, I looked at their reviews, I went to their LinkedIn, and then I emailed them and contacted them outside of Upwork.
Okay.
Because I know that relationship, taking the funds and everything, I want them to get with their work too. So,
right.
That's how I feel about it.
Okay, well, there may be some people who don't know exactly the type of services that a virtual assistant offers. So can you tell us a little bit about your virtual assistant business and what services that you offer?
Okay, yes. So I offer a full range of administrative skills. So anything from data entry to email management. I do a lot of HR for my clients, trying to recruit people for them, and I make the manuals for them, for their team, as far as employee manuals, that's the term I'm looking for. I do social media management, I do light graphic design. I don't claim to be like a stellar graphic designer, but I have learned quite a bit of graphic design, and I use those for my clients. I do social media calendars and hashtag research, answer phone calls, I do research projects. Yeah, the only thing, I've done invoicing. I try not to do a lot of bookkeeping. Not my favorite thing to do, but I've had clients who have requested, and I've been able to take care of it for them. There's a wide range of things that I personally do as a virtual assistant. I don't build websites. virtual assistant to do, but I don't do that. That's not my skill set. That may give you a good overview of kind of what my skill set looks like.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a lot of services that you offer. I was looking at your website and your packages and everything, and I was very impressed about how you had everything set up, and I was like, wow, she do all that? Because I saw the HR portion on there. I didn't realize a VA could offer some of those services.
Yes, it's very time consuming to do HR. It's something that I personally enjoy, but it can be very time consuming if you're looking for someone to fill a spot. And if you're a solopreneur, you're looking for someone to fill a spot, but then you're also filling a spot at the same time. So you may be doing 2, 3, 4, 5 people's jobs until you find the right person to come and fill the spot. So it can be very time consuming to do for the solopreneur. So it's definitely something that I enjoy doing. It gives them peace of mind when we found the right person.
Yeah, that is awesome. I love that, you offer those services. And I think I had an interview with someone who specializes in HR, and I think a lot of small businesses don't realize that they need those pieces as well. Like in the beauty community, it's especially, you know, like when it comes to, you know, payroll and hiring, and like you said, the employee manuals and stuff like that. Like, we're worried about making people look beautiful. We're not really, you know, always, mm-hmm. you know, I don't always know how to do all those things. So it's great to, as you start to grow your business and you're looking to scale, then you need to definitely hire the right people to do those little odd jobs that some stuff you can do, but should you be doing everything? And is that going to be practical for your business? And is that a smart move? And, but I'm looking at that more now because a lot of people I've talked to just within the beauty community are really, you know, afraid to take those steps, but they want to grow. So in order to grow, you definitely have to, you know, bring in the right people to handle the HR, to handle all of those back end things. And what I love is that you've been able to create a sustainable business doing that. So it's interesting how, because I'm looking to make a shift, and so I'm really interested at how somebody who was in the beauty industry, you know, just really, you know, looked at their other skills sets and said, okay, I could do something else that's not taking me away from my family as much, but still bringing in the income that I need.
Right. And I think that's great. That's your kind of thinking in that way. Like, okay, it's time to make a shift. What can I capitalize on? What's in my skill set? How can I make that shift? I mean, a lot of people in the beauty industry do it differently. I know some who go the route of teaching classes. Some go the route of doing like coaching sessions with people. And there are so many routes that you can take when you think about getting from, you know, behind the chair, whether you do hair or nails or whatever you're doing, getting from behind that chair into doing something that maybe isn't as physical and that is a little better in your control, and you can spend more time maybe at home or with your family and still make the money that you need to sustain the lifestyle that you've been used to living, or even another one, really.
Right, because it's like let's just say like hair can be a very lucrative business, but it's taxing on your body. And to do hair for 30 or 40 plus years, where you're using your hands and you're on your feet and your back and everything, you know, I think a lot of times people aren't thinking long term. Like, okay, it's good when you're young, but what about when you start having kids and you start getting older and different things? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you're on your feet and you're using your hands. And what about carpal tunnel and arthritis and all that types of stuff, you know?
Yep.
This episode is sponsored by the Living Room Hair Lounge, where beauty and comfort is our top priority. The Living Room Hair Lounge specializes in color, trendy precise haircuts, hair extensions, services, and natural texture styling. Centrally located in the heart of downtown Ferndale at 22747 Woodward Avenue, Suite 204. Check out our work and follow us on Instagram at The Living Room Hair Lounge and on Facebook at The Living Room Hair Lounge. Book one of our talented stylists at www.vagaro.com/The Living Room Hair Lounge or by calling 248-268-1632. We hope to see you soon at The Living Room Hair Lounge, where your beauty and comfort is our top priority.
Yep.
Right.
That's exactly right. You know, before you get there, you should already start thinking about your, I don't want to say exit plan, because I think that's like, but just what your next move is, how are you going to make the shift? I think that, I like that, Brandy. You'll have to start using that. How are you going to make a shift? Because exit plan just sounds so bad.
Right. But sometimes you do need
about that before you get to that point.
Right, you do need to make a shift eventually. Like, even if you keep your salon, I like the way you have trained people who are still servicing your clientele, but now you're working outside of the salon, but you still own the salon. So, I mean, you know, I think that was a great career move, because you still have that salon and you still have those skills and you're licensed. If you wanted to go back to doing hair, you could, but now you're able to work virtually behind the desk and help other people in their beauty businesses, and then still be there for your family and provide for your family. And so that's another thing. We got to start thinking about that, training other people. The best leaders, you know, train other people so that they can eventually lead, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And I started in my network of who I already knew. So my best friend, I was like, hey, I remember when we were traveling, I was like, okay, I had this client, she wants kinky twists, but I don't want to be there for that long. It's going to take me too long to do it. Can you come help me? I'll split the money with you. She was like, yeah, I don't know a whole lot about kinky twists, but I took my own hair and I said, okay, it's fine. I'll teach you. Let's go. Let's do it. Help me. Please right. help me. And so she started helping me, and I started training her. She learned how to do things, and we would do things with our family members. I'm like, hey, sit down. We're going to do your hair. We're going to experiment, make sure we got this technique right. Like, this was 10 years ago. Make sure we have all the techniques right and all that good stuff. And then she kind of shifted with me on and off. Like, so she would go to school, like college, and do her thing. And then during the summer, she would help me. And now it's got to the point where she's my lead stylist years later. And my sister-in-law, when she was in high school, she used to come and, like, help shampoo hair. I used to come help sweep the salon up, and I would give her some money, you know, some kind of money, fun money during the summertime. And when she graduated high school, I was like, you wanna help? Like, I think we can, you know, you've learned a lot over the past 2 years when you've been here during the summer. Do you think that, you know, you wanna train and actually style hair? And she did, and she's been doing a fabulous job. And then we have another junior stylist who is a referral from my best friend and my sister-in-law, who they know, and they've seen some of the things that she's been able to do, and we've been able to train her. So sometimes getting help means just asking around, starting in your network, and devoting time to actually training those people. You might not always have to go out and find another helping hand within your salon. My niece would help me do makeup, because she's YouTube University, of course, but she studied makeup. She's like 18 now, but she loved it so much, she learned how to do it. So when I had weddings, I would take her with me and say, hey, okay, I need you to, you know, powder the face or do really simple tasks for me that will help me cut down on time. And so although she didn't know a lot, she knew enough to help me. So just start from what you already have. You already have people around you who you see potential in. Ask them if they want to help you. Ask them if they want to learn. You never know what you can get from that.
I love that. That I think a lot of times we make things difficult for ourselves. We think we need to reach outside, but sometimes it's right in your own inner circle. It's people who are already around you, people who you may know that, you know, can contribute in your business and help you, and you can help them by training them on a new skill and help them to make some money. And sometimes I feel like, you know, I don't see that enough. But I love the fact that you were able to reach inside your network. And that's why it's great to build your network and to really stay connected with people, because you never know. You never know who you might need or who you might be able to help, and who can help you in your business. So I love that you were able to do that with your, you say it was your niece?
Yes, my niece, my best friend, and my sister-in-law.
Yeah, awesome. Right? To keep it in the family. I love that.
Yes.
So tell me, like, what's like the best business advice you've ever received?
Oh, that's a good one, Brandy. Hold on, give me a second. Best business advice that I have ever received. I feel like it might change like every month almost. Depending on where I am. I don't know. I've gotten so much good advice over the past couple years. I think one thing is to kind of start where you are. You know, don't worry about what everybody else is doing, but start where you are. The age of social media is outrageous sometimes when it comes to comparing ourselves with other people. And comparing yourself can mean the death of your business, because instead of focusing on what you have going on and the positive things that are happening within your business, you start focusing on, you don't look like homegirl on Instagram who's really just stunting for the gram. Like, really, she's not living that life. She's just showing that life. But I think that, you know, just kind of focusing on where you are, not where everybody else is. Focusing on where you are and take steps in movement to get to where you envision yourself being. Don't be so caught up in, you know, I didn't hit this goal by this time. I'm saying it to you. I'm repeating it to myself. But to really focus on just making forward progress. You don't have times in which you're stagnant, of course, but just try to keep making forward progress and to be authentic. I noticed is something that, not so much business advice, but something that I found has worked for me really well. Is although I try to post my quote-unquote pretty pictures on Instagram, if you read my captions, ain't nothing but a bunch of nonsense in there. Like, I'm just having a good time. because people don't, you know, they may want to see pretty pictures, but they want to see your personality. So as a business, make sure you have a personality, you have a voice, and then you're open to sharing it and not worrying about other people judging you for who you are.
I love that. I love that. Because I actually just had like a reality check or epiphany, so to speak. You know, I've been in the makeup industry for 12 years, and I really realized that I've really been influenced by the industry. And so what I've allowed it to do is to take away from my true self as an artist, like the artist that I am. And the style of makeup that I do personally, I had got so far away from it because I was trying to do what was trendy. So I wasn't being true to myself as an artist. So I love that. You know, I think that is some great business advice that you just gave.
Thank you. I love the fact that you said, you know, you're trying to get away, but you're not trying to be trendy. Like, you're not trying to go with the trends, because trends are, you know, they have a time limit. They have a shelf life.
They do. They do. And I understand that I'm not going to, I used to think I had to do everything. I'm not for everybody, and I don't have to do everything. Some people are going to be attracted to my style, and then, you know, some people may like those other trends, and the other girl that's doing those trends, those are her clients, not mine. And there is millions of people in this world, and it's okay. I don't have to do everything. So that was something that I learned. So I love that. Like, start right where you're at, work with what you have, and, you know, do you. Be true to you. Work where you're at. Don't worry about what you see it on social media. Because I think so many times we do get caught up in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was just starting out, like the first 2 years of me doing hair, I was practicing Molly Twist. This is when Molly Twist were huge. I think we can't call it Molly Twist. We got to call it something else. I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. Like the, the big chunky twist. And I remember doing it and being like, man, this is ugly. I'm like, she's gonna pay me to do this because these look whack, because they don't look like the pictures that are going around online. I said, but you know what? I'm gonna take a picture. I'm gonna post it anyway, and I still got five from it. I was like, y'all wanna do this? This is not good, but they thought it was good. It was my that is all I had at the time, so I picked my skill. But people loved it. They loved the fact that maybe my parts weren't quite as clean as other people's parts. I mean, she couldn't see as much as a scalp, I guess. People have different things that they like, right? So by focusing on what you're doing and starting where you are, you're going to draw people who like where you are, not where you think you should be, but like you exactly where you are. And when you start growing, they're going to be like, oh, okay, this looks different, but I like it anyway and grow with you. And by that time, if your customer service is good, you already caught them anyway, no matter
right.
where you go to, they're going to want you.
I love it. I love it. That is awesome. So tell me how you define success.
Being able to live on my own terms.
I love it.
In a nutshell. It's not, you know, it's great to have money. Money is, you know, a portion of it, but I need to be able to control my lifestyle. As far as not like traveling and things like that, but just having a little bit more freedom in my time, I think. I that's one reason why I don't really want to go back behind the chair right now. It's because it allows me time to, if I have to, my child is sick, I can pick up and go get him from school, wherever he's at, say, all right, baby, let's go to the doctor. I don't have to say, okay, I have to worry about this client whose hair I'm in the middle of. I can't leave. You know what I mean? So I have to be somewhere early, or someone has to be somewhere early. I'm able to control my time and get them there. So being able to define my time is truly success to me, because it gives me freedom to be with my family.
I love it. I love it. So you're a virtual assistant, so I know you have a ton of tools that you use. So what would you say is your favorite tool that helps you in your business?
My favorite tool that helps me in business? Man, I have so many. probably Dubsado. It's a client relations management system. I really love Dubsado.
How do you
feel like a novice.
How do you spell that?
Sorry.
What's that? How do you spell that?
spell it BUBSADO.
Oh, okay. I never heard of it. What type of app is it?
So it's web based, and you can use it on your phone too, but it's web based. And you can just so much with it. Where do I start? So I send out proposals to it. Here's my favorite thing to do. When I get an inquiry, I'll send out the proposal. They can click on the options that they want in the proposal, and it'll automatically generate their contract. They sign the contract, it takes them right to their invoice. I've done all three steps in one step. I don't have to keep going back and forth and redrawing up this document, checking this document, going back and forth with the client. After I've already talked to them one time, we've decided on a few different options, they pick it, we move forward. I can also send people my scheduler. I can send people questionnaires. I can embed things within my website.
Wow.
I can have workflows triggered. So if someone sends me goes on my website and fills out the form for a lead, it'll need me to send them a link to my scheduler and say, hey, you want to schedule a time to chat? Here it is. I've done nothing, but it's doing everything for me because I can set it up to do that.
Oh, wow.
It's got my contacts, my invoices, it tells me the things I'm past due. I love it.
That sounds awesome. I'm going to have to check that one out. So it's the Spido.
Yep, the Spido. If you do and you pay for it, use my code so I can get some money off. You can get some money off too.
Well, that's cool. You know what? Send me the code and I'll share it in the links to the podcast. I'll share it. And that way we can all use your code. Yeah.
Right. We all need some money off. Right?
Yeah, we all can, you know, use your code and, you know, hopefully you get something from that. So that'd be great. Share that and I'll definitely put it in the podcast notes. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So my last question for you would be, I'm a bookie, but I mainly now I find that I listen to most of my books. So I do a lot of Audible and, but I love, you know, learning new information and everything. So I'm always curious to know, like, what's your favorite book or what are you reading currently?
Okay. So I'm such a pen and paper type of girl. Like, I take notes all in pen and paper. I read books in paper. I try electronic. For some reason, I just can't get with it. I don't know what it is, but I subscribe to something called Hustle, Sparkle, Grow. And so it's a subscription box that comes to my door, and every day they have a new book.
Oh, it's wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, okay. They have a bunch of other stuff, books. They have paper stuff, which I love pens, but they give me a new book. So it's helping me grow my little library. For some reason, I can't remember the name of the book that I'm reading right now. But it is a compilation of tips and tricks from like 100 different marketing masters, pretty much. And it's all web-based marketing, digital marketing. It's called Digital Marketers Sound Off. That's what it's called. And it breaks it down by like Facebook ads, SEO, Google, how to, the best tips and tricks to market in those particular areas. And it's all from like experts of like Fortune 500 companies. So that's what I'm reading right now. I'm always trying to learn about business and how to improve my business, but then how to improve my client's business, because that's a big thing for me. I don't want to just always go, well, I'm just listening, tell me what to do. I want to be able to give helpful suggestions to help people to grow their business. So I try to take in business information as well for them. So that's what I'm reading right now. I don't have as much time as I like to read. I'm still on like page like 50. I've been reading it for like a month, but it's okay. I'm gonna get through it.
See, that's why I listen to my books.
I'm open to giving it. I haven't even given it a chance. I need to. I really need to. You're inspiring me, Brandy. You really are.
Well, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes when, like, I take long drives, sometimes it may take me 40 minutes to get to my destination or I'm, you know, doing different things. And when I'm, like, in the car, if I'm taking my daughter to a rehearsal or driving to a client meeting or whatever, I can listen to my audiobook, and I could get through a book in a week sometimes when I'm on the road. Or sometimes if I'm just even at home and I'm cleaning or cooking, I can listen to some content then. So there's a lot of times where I can listen to content. So I love music, but sometimes I'm like, okay, it's learning time. No music right now. Let me just listen to my book, and I'll just, you know, take, especially if I take a long drive, like if I'm driving, you know, more than 40 minutes, I'm like, well, I'll just listen to, you know, something that's going to empower me rather than listening to music the whole way. So it's really helped me to finish a lot of books. And I actually retain more information listening to it than I do reading it. But I still like to read something inspirational. So I like to read devotionals where you can read a couple pages every day. And, you know, so I'll read those. And then, like, far as, like, my books, if it ain't on Audible, it might not get read. But I really love to or like a short book. Like my girl, she came out with a book. I think it was 90 pages. I read her book because I was interested in what she had to talk about. And it was 90 pages. So I could do 90 pages. But like, you know, a regular, but that's not a regular book to me. That's almost like a devotional too. So I could do like short books, devotionals. I read articles. But a book, I have to do Audible.
Yeah. So I remember when I was in middle school. We did this test to figure out what type of learner we are. And I figured out that when I hear things, I don't retain the information. I have to either physically write it down, like touch to remember, or I have to actually see it. And it's like, when I think about something, as I was trying to remember the name of the book, I can literally see the cover in my head that was helping me remember what the name was. And I think that's why I'm nervous. I feel like if I listen to it, I might not remember anything that I heard. But I'm going to give it a try anyway and see what happens.
That's interesting because some people are that way, and I can understand that. We all learn differently, and some people are like, I remember I would get in trouble for talking all the time in English, and so I would have to write my words 5 times each, 20 times. Like, I had to do that every week because I was always in trouble for talking. But but, you know, it actually, writing them down 5 times each, I never failed a spelling test. But sometimes I would miss one, and you would think I wouldn't. But I think it's because, you know, after a while, I wasn't spelling the words. I was just writing them. You know what I mean? Because I'm more of a hearer. And it could be because music, like I'm a music person. I love music. You know, I sang in a choir at church and stuff. And sometimes me singing stuff in my head, like I'll remember silly things just by singing it or humming it or making it into a song. And so, and then you know how like kids, when they teach them little rhymes and stuff. It's stuff that I remember from school, my school days, to this day, because it was a little stupid song. But I think it's something with how I learn. It's something with music, something with hearing. But I'm different from you, and I can write it down, and I can actually write that word 100 times and still maybe not remember how to spell it, because I'll check out consciously and not even really know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. You know what I mean?
Hey, I get it. And I feel like that's how it is, because the only thing I try to listen to the Bible very, very regularly as possible. And I find myself having to rewind because my mind has wandered off because I'm listening. I feel like I'm not doing anything like active because I'm not holding something. So I'm like, all right, let me rewind it, go back, try it again. What happened?
Yeah.
So I think that's what happens. My mind wanders. And that's why I'm not getting anything when I read. I'm not getting as much as when I read versus listen, because my mind starts drifting for some reason.
And that's okay. We all have different things. So I have friends that are just like you. Like, they have to have that physical book. And I'm just, maybe because my musical or whatever, I have to hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, tell it to me. I'm not going to read it and sit there. I just don't have the patience for that. But we're all different. And, you know, it's good to know, like, what works for you. So that's absolutely fine. So I really enjoy chatting with you today, Simone. And I want you to share with us how we can reach you on social media, like your website, all that stuff. Share some of your stuff. If you have anything coming up, feel free to share that as well.
Oh, yeah. So you can reach me on social media. I am at The Little Virtual Assistant. My last name is Little, so it's a play on words, at The Little Virtual Assistant. And my email address is hello at The Little Virtual Assistant, and my web address is www.thelittlevirtualassistant.com. So everything is the same. It makes it kind of easy. I don't think I have anything coming up right now. I have a lot of client work happening, to be honest. So I'm just working on that. I don't have anything special. I have some things that are in the works that me and a couple of my girl bosses are working on together, but it's not at the announcement stage yet, if you know what I mean. So,
okay.
But, you know, if anybody wants to contact me or, you know, take my brand, anything like that, you know, I think email and DM, those are really effective ways to get in communication with me.
Okay, great, great. Did you share your Instagram as well?
Mm-hmm, yep, at The Little Virtual Assistant.
Oh, at The Little Virtual. Okay, great. So I'll make sure I share all of that in the show links. So if you want to reach Simone, you could definitely check out the show links, and I'll put her website and all the information. And she's going to give us a special code to that that web.
Despato.
She's going to give us a special code. So all of that will be in the show notes and as well. So if they want to find you and connect with you, they can find all your information there. But yeah, thank you so much. It's been awesome chatting with you today. I wish you the very best in your business and your endeavors. And that's all I have for you today.
Thank you, Brandy. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. Well, that's all. So you have a great one, and I hope you enjoyed my chat with Simone, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to the Business Beauty Network podcast. Please subscribe and support our podcast. Please share it. Share it with your friends and family. Also, connect with us. We want to hear from you. Leave us comments. Let us know what you're enjoying about the podcast. Also, email us at bbnetworkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also connect with me on Instagram at I Am Brandy Taylor and at Exquisite Looks. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Exquisite Looks. And you can check out my website at exquisitelooks.com. I really hope to hear from you and connect with you soon. Remember that all things are possible if you only believe. Stay great.